Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. After the Music Stopped by economist Alan S. Blinder offers a clear, policy-focused account of the 2007 to 2009 financial crisis and the difficult years that followed. Written by a former Federal Reserve vice chair and longtime scholar of monetary policy, the book explains how a long expansion, rising leverage, and fragile financial plumbing turned housing and credit problems into a systemic breakdown. Blinder emphasizes both narrative and diagnosis, what happened in markets and institutions, why so many warnings were missed, and how panic spread through funding markets that most households never see. He also examines the emergency actions taken by the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government, including liquidity programs, bank rescues, and fiscal stimulus, while weighing their effectiveness and political backlash. The result is an accessible guide to the crisis for general readers who want more than headlines, plus a framework for thinking about what reforms were needed and what risks remained afterward. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how a housing boom became a systemic financial crisis. Blinder traces the crisis back to a familiar pattern, a prolonged period of optimism and easy credit that inflated housing prices and encouraged risk-taking across the financial system. Mortgages were increasingly originated with weaker underwriting and then packaged into complex securities that spread exposure far beyond local lenders. A key point is that the danger was not only falling home values, but also how leverage and interconnected balance sheets turned losses into contagion. When defaults rose and prices declined, investors questioned the reliability of ratings and models that had treated mortgage risk as safely diversified. That shift in beliefs mattered as much as the underlying losses because finance runs on confidence. As collateral values became uncertain, lenders pulled back, funding grew more expensive, and institutions dependent on short-term borrowing faced immediate stress. The book highlights how the structure of modern credit markets can transmit shocks rapidly, especially when products are opaque and risk is mispriced. By focusing on mechanisms rather than villains alone, Blinder shows why seemingly contained problems in subprime lending could cascade into a broad credit freeze that hit households, businesses, and global markets. Secondly, the shadow banking system and the dynamics of panic. A central theme is that the worst damage occurred not in traditional banking, but in the shadow banking system. Broker-dealers, money market funds, structured investment vehicles, and other entities performing bank-like functions without the same safeguards. Blinder explains how these institutions relied on runnable short-term funding such as repos and commercial paper, making them vulnerable to a modern form of bank run. Once doubts emerged about asset quality, counterparties demanded more collateral, shortened maturities, or refused to roll funding. This withdrawal was rational from each lender's perspective but devastating in aggregate, forcing fire sales that pushed prices down further and created a feedback loop. The book also underscores the role of complexity and opacity. When market participants cannot assess exposures quickly, they retreat broadly rather than selectively, which can punish healthy firms along with weak ones. Blinder connects these dynamics to key moments of the crisis, when panic accelerated and policymakers faced rapidly moving markets. His discussion clarifies why maintaining liquidity and confidence became the priority, and why old tools designed for commercial banks had to be adapted to stabilize institutions and markets that had become central to credit creation. Thirdly, policy firefighting, bailouts, liquidity programs, and stabilization. Blinder devotes significant attention to the emergency response, portraying it as messy, imperfect, and often controversial, yet crucial to stopping a downward spiral. He discusses how the Federal Reserve expanded its role as lender of last resort through new facilities aimed at supporting market liquidity, not just individual banks. The Treasury and other agencies also intervened to shore up systemically important firms and restore confidence in funding markets. Blinder examines the logic of these actions. In a panic, authorities may need to lend against collateral, provide guarantees, or recapitalize institutions to prevent cascading failures. He also addresses the communication and legitimacy challenges that came with unprecedented interventions, including public anger over perceived favoritism and moral hazard. Importantly, the book weighs the counterfactual, what might have happened if policymakers had refused to act or acted too slowly. By framing decisions under extreme uncertainty and time pressure, Blinder helps readers understand why officials sometimes chose the least bad option rather than a clean solution. The topic illustrates how crisis management blends economics, law, and politics, and how the success of stabilization is often recognized only by disasters that did not occur. Fourthly, macroeconomic aftershocks, recession, unemployment, and the limits of recovery after the immediate panic eased, the economy still faced deep damage from collapsing wealth, impaired credit channels, and weakened demand. Blinder explores how financial crises differ from ordinary recessions because balance sheets need repair, households reduce spending to pay down debt, banks tighten lending, and firms delay investment. This dynamic can produce a slow, frustrating recovery even when interest rates are near zero. The book considers the role of fiscal stimulus and other measures intended to support demand, alongside debates about their size, timing, and political feasibility. Blinder also highlights the distribution of pain, unemployment, and lost income fell heavily on workers, while the complexity of financial rescues fueled distrust. By linking Wall Street disruptions to Main Street outcomes, he clarifies that the real cost of crisis is not only bank failures, but prolonged joblessness and reduced opportunity. The topic also points to the policy constraints of the post-crisis period, including concerns about deficits, partisan gridlock, and the challenge of acting decisively when the worst panic has passed, but economic slack remains. Readers gain a grounded sense of why recovery can be uneven and why prevention is less costly than cure. Lastly, reform and the work ahead, regulation, accountability, and future risk, Blinder argues that stabilizing the system was only the first stage. The lasting question is how to reduce the odds and severity of the next crisis. He reviews the rationale for stronger capital and liquidity requirements, better oversight of systemically important institutions, and improved resolution mechanisms so that large firms can fail without bringing down the economy. A recurring issue is aligning private incentives with public stability, since financial firms may take risks that are profitable in good times but impose large social costs in bad times. The book also stresses that regulation must keep pace with innovation and migration of activity outside traditional banks. If rules tighten in one area, risk can reappear elsewhere, so authorities need a system-wide view. Blinder addresses the tension between complexity and enforceability. Overly intricate rules can be gamed, but simplistic ones may miss important channels. He also considers political economy, including lobbying pressure and reform fatigue, as memories of crisis fade. The work ahead, in his framing, includes building institutions and norms that treat financial stability as a public good, while preserving the benefits of credit and capital markets for growth and entrepreneurship. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a coherent, evidence-based explanation of the financial crisis without requiring advanced training in finance. It will appeal to students, policy professionals, investors, journalists, and informed citizens who remember the turmoil but want to understand the mechanics behind the headlines, including why panic spread so fast and why interventions became so large. The main benefit is practical clarity. By learning how leverage, short-term funding, and interconnected institutions amplify shocks, readers gain a framework for judging future booms, busts, and policy debates. That perspective can improve personal decision-making too, from evaluating market risk to interpreting economic news and political claims about bailouts, stimulus, and regulation. Compared with many crisis books that focus primarily on personalities or sensational episodes, Blinder offers a structured policy narrative grounded in macroeconomics and central banking experience. The emphasis on mechanisms, trade-offs, and reform makes it a valuable reference long after the specific events fade. It is worth buying if you want one well-organized account that links financial plumbing, government response, and the ongoing challenge of building a safer system. If you would like to support Alan S. Blinder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.